In 2017, my husband, who's a South Sudanese, we decided that we were going to move here in August of 2017. So we left. We quit our jobs. We sold all our stuff and flew out to Kampala. And then while we were in Kampala, it was just like, is this really where we want to be after like 2 weeks? We're like, no, let's go all the way home. Let's go to Juba. So, yeah, we came here.
And so how long have you been in Juba?
6 years. The longest that I've been outside of Juba since moving here in August of 2017 was March of 2020. I went to go take care of my mom, and, you know, that was the height of COVID. So I was, like, stuck there for 3 months.
And talk to me what you do in Juba here from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Well, 6 a.m., I'm usually getting up, making coffee, getting myself ready, making some breakfast. But by 9 o'clock, I'm in the Lualding Foundation offices. I'm the chief of staff for the Lualding Foundation. And I'm supporting the growth and movement of developing youth in South Sudan through sport.
Talk to me about your good moments in 2023.
2023 with LDF, Lualding Foundation with LDF, it's been great. We started a grant with EDC, Education Development Center, based in Washington, D.C., funded by USAID. And we started doing what we call the Youth Empowerment Activity, YEA. And we were able to go to Western Baragazal to go and do some training and, you know, support youth in developing themselves with mental health awareness, basic electricity, mentorship, literacy, and numeracy.
What would you describe as your worst moments in 2023?
On January 4th, I got a call from my mom saying, come home so I can die. And I went on January 11th, got there on the 12th, and on the 22nd of January, she had actually passed away, which was sad, but it was good because I fulfilled, you know, the expectation that she had of me to be there. I came back to Juba in February. Things were running smoothly. We started with the youth empowerment activity with Lualding Foundation, and then in March, then my brother passed away, the brother who had lived with her. And, like, that was a serious turn of events in that we weren't expecting it. So it was like grief on top of grief. The grieving of my mom was an easy grief. It was like a cool grief. Like, we were expecting it. We were ready for it. We knew it was coming. But the passing of my brother, we were not expecting at all as a family. And it really, like just punched us in the stomach as a family. So those were the hardest times, just kind of getting through. But, you know, now being a South Sudanese and having a sisterhood here of other South Sudanese women who they rallied. Oh, my God, they rallied in a way. They came around and they came to visit and sit with me and be with me and, you know, kind of like ease that pain and that suffering, because I didn't go back. I didn't go back to the U.S. for my brother's funeral or anything, memorial, anything like that.
My condolences. And it appears like you've grounded yourself here strongly with the locals. I saw you yesterday, I mean, I heard you speaking Arabic and sharing experiences at the airport. Is there any light moments that you want to share with your experience with South Sudanese?
First of all, Arabi Mafi. I do not speak Arabic. It's been interesting because there was a moment at the office at the Lualding Foundation. We had a whole team meeting where we brought the coaches and everybody from the Ding Academy and the office staff together, and we were having a full meeting, and one of our coaches, Coach Kwan, he got up to talk, and he speaks this Arabic from Khartoum. And once he finished, somebody wanted to translate to help me understand. I was like, no. I heard all of that. And everybody's like, what? You heard it? I'm like, yes, I heard it. So everybody clapped for me that I heard all of his Arabic.
They thought you don't speak Arabic.
I don't. But I can hear. And, you know, now that I've been here for 6 years, like, I can really hear more than I know, more than I give myself credit for.
I mean, somebody listening to me and you in California or in in LA will be thinking, are you crazy to be in this tough environment?
Wherever your partner is where you are, right? I'm here with my partner. I'm here with my husband, my lifelong partner. We've been together 34 years and today married 27 years. So wherever he is, I'm
congratulations.
Comfortable.
Congratulations. I understand it's your anniversary.
Thank you, yeah. And so wherever he is, I'm comfortable. The other thing is as an African-American, you know, I was raised in a household where I was very much aware of my Africanness, right? And so, like, it's not a struggle to be around and with people who may look like me but speak differently than me, you know, dress differently and whatever. I think I would say to people, like, you just be where you are and be happy wherever you are, wherever life finds you. I am very much aware of my privilege. You know, like, this passport I have allows me to go wherever I want to be. And I'm aware of it, and I'm grateful for it. And I also, you know, think, like, it's one of those things where if I have chosen to be here, then I have to make the best of it, you know. And wherever you are, wherever you choose to be, good and bad happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, Juba's no different from D.C. or L.A. or San Francisco or EPA, where I'm from. 650, woot woot. But it's like you have good and bad and ugly everywhere.